Big deal out of inviting, out of asking
someone to be your date for prom.
Like proposing to go to prom.
Yeah. Yeah, promposal. And they, you know, they come up with cute ways and like in front of the whole school and all that type of stuff.
Instead of just saying, hey,
you
want to
go to prom? Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, so it was Johnson's prom Saturday and my friends and I drove up. And on the way there, we made a sign for my friend Melanie. And as she walked through promenade, we held it up and we were like, "Wow, go Melanie!" and everything. And she took the sign and she was so happy. She was surprised. Yeah. We didn't tell her that we were doing it. I'll show you photos.
This is C. Michael Hall, writer and creator of Ape Entertainment's El Dorado, and you're listening to Comic Pop Library.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Comic Pop Rockin' in the Dirt, brought to you by Comic Pop Library. I'm Richard, along with
April,
Jonathan,
and Lenny.
In today's episode, we are looking at Craig Greenberg's latest album, Grand Loss and Legacy. His album just released in 2015. We entered in with My Love is Alive from that album. We originally came by Craig by City Bird Publicity, where we spotlighted two of his music videos. And then here lately, Craig got in touch with us personally and sent us his full album to review and discuss. So we want to say thank you to Craig for doing that for Comic Pop. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to April.
Right. So, Craig, this isn't his first musical work. It's his first full CD, but he's actually had two EPs prior to this. He had his debut EP called The World and Back in 2007, and then August of 2010, he produced his second EP, Spinning in Time. So he's not new to the music scene. And, yeah, so originally
8 years, he's practically a grandfather.
Practically, music-wise, yeah. Anyways, yeah, and so he's a native New Yorker. He's living in Brooklyn, but he's very, very cultured. He's like he's at the start of his career.
I like
music.
How she says that. He's living in Brooklyn, but he's very cultured.
But he's gotten out of the place. Like he's branched out other than New York. You know,
not that we have anything against Brooklyn particularly.
No. We do not.
I'm just kidding.
That's like
April,
if you stayed in like Connecticut all your life, you wouldn't be too cultured. Not because Connecticut ain't wonderful.
It ain't. It's sure. Just, I mean, it sure is. Or it ain't.
Or like Kansas.
Exactly.
The other day, I was corrected by a new friend and acquaintance, I suppose, on saying a double negative, and
I say them all the time.
I do, and the way I speak, if I wrote like that, no one would read
exactly
it at
like,
all.
I know in my head when I say
I know
that
it's wrong.
Wrong,
I know I'm wrong. I don't care. I like it. Yeah,
exactly. It's like,
allow me to
speech,
be a gutter mouth if I want to. I'm just talking to you.
In everyday talk, I don't really care. But yes, anyway, so he has been to numerous countries. When he started up, he was actually in Chile and Spain. And he just went around pubs and bars and stuff and played. And he's actually been through
Chili in Spain. So he went from...
Yeah, he ate chili in Spain.
Oh, he ate chili in Spain.
He said it tasted delicious.
In the plane, in the rain? In the,
yes. He said the rain made it a little soupy, but worth it.
Yeah. Well, I just... Because, I mean, I realize that they are related in the fact that they're both Hispanic, Spanish-speaking countries, but they're not exactly landlocked together there.
No, but he's been to both.
And, yeah, he just flew from one to the other.
And he's also played around. He's also played around in Costa Rica, Israel, Ecuador, and the U.S. Virgin Islands, as well as
play around,
you know,
like
America.
Him. I want to play around.
Just play
like
around
him, other countries.
Jump around. Yeah, that'd be nice.
That would be.
Cool. But yeah, and he said so. This is his first official album, and he said it's a lot darker than his previous EPs, a lot looser, freer, I guess is how he's described it, as in he hasn't paid so much detail, attention work as he had in his previous works. And for me, it works. His first single on it was That Girl Is Wrong For You, and I liked that one pretty good that he released. And then the second one was Death on the Liberty Line. And that one, it's a political statement piece.
Really political statement.
But I enjoy the fact that he admits it. Like, he introduces it as a political piece. Most artists, like...
try to disguise it.
Yeah, or even if it is blatant, they don't officially say, yes, you know, this is about politics and everything. But so I like that he owned up to this. And, I don't know, I got a very... you know, 20s steampunk, you know, just not saloon, but just like a bar. Because I can't say saloon because that's more Wild West, but you know.
I can hear that.
That's how I feel.
And
yeah.
Stuff,
and because like,
that's kind of going back to this style.
Mm-hmm, I compared it a lot to Steam Powered Giraffes, which is a really, really popular steampunk band. I have some of their songs.
Neat.
They're nice. Yeah, they're lovely.
Yeah, it sounds neat. I actually,
really nice.
I would like to listen to some Steam Powered Giraffes. And I agree with April. I think that it is very listenable music, isn't it? It's just kind of nice, and you can kind of go with it. And
I don't know where you would throw it at, though, and stick
to
the wall.
I can't say per se what exact genre it might fit
into. It's a little jazzy, but it's not full jazz. It's a little swingy. You know,
yeah, it's definitely not heavy metal. Kind of,
no,
I could say easily a few things that it's not.
Yeah, for sure.
But
I'd
you
like
know,
to see his music translate.
Honestly, and maybe Craig himself would disagree, or maybe he'd be like, yeah, finally somebody gets it. Because I kind of, in a way, it's like it's punk. In the sense that it's not like other punk,
right,
but it has
but
the same
punk.
It has
in,
the same mentality, doesn't it? It has the kind of outside of
well,
the box
see,
thinking.
There's some stuff on here that compares him to like Billy Joel and stuff, and I don't know.
Maybe the way he sounds, his sound.
Yeah, because the style.
But I don't think intentionally. No.
Yeah, to me wasn't. Like,
I can
exactly.
see some of Billy Joel, but the person that popped out to me automatically, whether he wants to admit it or not, but. And you guys, I'd have to show it on YouTube, but some of you might remember, is Randy Newman. Because it's a very similar style. Very similar sound.
Now, that sounds familiar. What did Randy Newman do? Do you
You Are a Friend to Me from the
Toy Story. Oh, the Toy Story, yeah.
This type of stuff.
And that's a little slower, but the same kind of...
It's got the same...
It's not country, but you can see it being sung around a campfire in a country.
I call it sling music.
Okay.
I actually
sling?
Do know
who you are. I'm pretty sure that's not an official like subgenre of anything.
She just created one.
That's kind of
new.
That's how I describe it as slingy. You know, because it's not slinky, it's not swingy, so it's just slingy.
Okay, I can see
that. Makes sense. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't, and it's very likable. It's not.
It's friendly.
I didn't turn on one song and say, "God, I can't listen to this."
Mm-hmm.
I may have not understood them all right away, but
well,
I mean,
and
it was. I could follow it. I could keep listening.
And for me, even if you had to rank them, you know, from favorite to least favorite, even I think for me, even the bottom song, I would still enjoy. You know, there isn't one where I was like, "Ew, nasty." You know, I thought it was all pretty good.
And I like that. I hate it when an artist comes out and, you know, they experiment almost with too much style. They have too many different ideas.
Well, and I think since he's been around for a while and he's got those two EPs under his belt, that he's kind of found his form now. Yeah, yeah, he's like, okay, this is.
I like it when it kind of has a theme to it,
mm-hmm.
no matter what the theme is.
Yeah,
you know,
you can
just kind of
this.
Yeah, mm-hmm. at least for the album. And then if he wants to experiment with something, do it on a new album and yeah. do that album yeah. that way, and let us compare, contrast,
mm-hmm.
and gripe about the new stuff because that's what we always do.
Yeah,
here's some a little bit of Randy Newman.
Okay, although I have heard that
which
one
is
song for sure.
the first Pixar movie that I did the music for 10 years ago.
Yeah.
The first couple times I saw the picture, I, you know, like
quit talking about it, Randy, and just do it.
And
so just sing, man.
Got the same. And we're all still alive. Kind of has that
you
same.
I know that.
Yeah. You know.
Jonathan might not be.
I actually know this.
Well, yeah, everyone knows this. Yeah.
No, but I'm saying that. I knew what he was talking about when he brought it up. I just couldn't think of the artist's name.
Mm-hmm.
Because, amazingly, it was from Family Guy.
Perfect.
And, like...
Have you noticed every pop culture reference Jonathan has ever gotten is because of Family Guy?
Right.
And that makes me happy in some way, like...
And very, very sad in another.
Like, wow, you're so cultured. How did you, like, know all this?
Family Guy.
Solid.
I'm not cultured, but Seth MacFarlane?
Mm-hmm.
He is, so...
That's
he
awesome.
Kind of
well,
exactly.
See, I had just seen the episode, and then when we were in the car and you played the music, I was like, this guy sounds so familiar to me. And then I was like, I know I've heard this before. And then you mentioned the name, and I was like, yes, I know. I actually do know this. A lot of the times when they mention names on music, I'm like, I don't know. But this one I didn't know, which is unusual for
me. Yeah, I like it. And I like that type of... Yeah, like slingy, like
yeah.
music anyways. And for me, the only struggle is that being from New York, the New York kind of shows.
Right.
And it works for the genre, but there are some songs where it gets really spread out. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. There's a lot of artists today that do sing spread out, you know, because the only time you really care about really tall vowels is when you sing classical music. But... there are some times that it gets too noticeable, you know?
I just want you to know, and just for the fans out there, too, you just went real deep into music theory. And had I not seen The Crossroads with Ralph Macchio, I would have no the hell idea what you're talking about.
Sweet.
But Sweet. She's actually talking about the accent in New York City,
yep.
construing the vowels in such a way... that it makes it hard to hit certain
and not that pitches. I hate the New York accent, but just to be conscious of that. And I'm gonna take it a little deeper.
Oh god.
Okay, so when you sing and of course classically it's a lot more emphasis, you know,
when you talk there's a lot of empathy, you know?
Yeah.
too on
yeah
empathy.
It's kind of ironic because yeah. I'm trying to yeah anyways yeah there's a lot of empathy.
Emphasis is a hard word to say.
I'm gonna take a different word. I'm, okay. a different approach. You're taught very...
Bidi, that's all, folks.
Yeah. Take 15. when you learn to sing, there are different spots on your face to sing. You know, like forehead, nose, cheeks, chin is like, you know, when you're too low and like heavy. And the main goal is to get as forward into your face as possible and into basically your cheekbones.
So right up your nose.
No.
Oh, no.
Not nasally. Not right here on like your apples of your cheeks and forehead.
But you said forward, and that the nose is the most forward part
and
of your
out,
face.
Right there.
But your nose is more forward.
Well, yeah, you do sing forward, but you...
But you also like, have to sing out.
Like you leave a hole then. If you want to describe it like that.
A hole in the nose.
If you want to describe it like that.
So you sing like Squidward.
It's a hole in the wall.
It's a hole in the wall. But you know what I'm saying. You sing for it and sometimes...
Who is that?
Pink Floyd?
No.
Brick in the Walls.
Oh, no. I was thinking of another song.
Yeah.
Brick in the Wall?
No. I said I was thinking of another song. the one on Pulp Fiction. No, not that song, damn it. Thinking of a different song.
That song stuck in my head now.
Anyway, so you're supposed to sing for it, and every now and then... he'll slip into his ears or like way back here and just down a little bit and you hear that kind of, you're sitting down on it. And you're right. That is part of the style. It's just making sure you don't do too much. It's,
right,
you know, that balance, you know.
I just want you to know, April, that most people have no idea what you're talking about.
I just wanted to get it off my
chest. That's fine. And, you know, for music...
He'll know what I'm talking about.
What's his name? Craig. For music theory people, this is going to be, you know, a little bit of a tough one. She's probably spot on. Very good at this stuff. I have no idea what she's talking about. Your O's and A's sounded fine to me. So, if that's worth anything...
Well, what I liked about this...
Yeah, I'm sure he knows enough about music to know exactly what you're talking about. I'm like, holes in my face. Okay, buddy.
And it's hard.
I thought you sung with your throat.
Well, and it's
don't
hard.
Be weird.
It's hard.
You sing with your mouth.
It's diaphragm. Hard, especially.
You don't
diaphragm.
Okay, she just said to sing with your cheeks. Now you're telling me to sing. Why don't I just sing with my little toes and we'll have a little party up in this? Sing with my fingers and my toes.
It's really
happy
hard
hands.
To, like,
happy hands singing.
It's hard.
See,
I can't.
You
crash.
Sing with your hands.
I mean, I can't really crash course you through proper singing on this review. I'm sorry. Schedule a lesson with me, and I'll get you started.
That's the absolute last goal I have. I'm never planning on singing.
That's all right.
Even in church, I'm just not going to do it.
Well, see, with Randy Newman, I always enjoyed Randy Newman, and I enjoy Craig's music for the same reasoning. And that reasoning is, and I haven't listened to all of Randy Newman songs, but what I have, they're easy to pick up, they're easy to sing to and have fun with. And it has, and even though it might have a serious lyric to it, it has a light sound to it where it doesn't sound so harsh, and it just sounds like you're just having a fun time.
Well, and I enjoy
that. That's what
that.
I've enjoyed about this music.
Well, and a lot
like
of
that.
The music you hear now,
it does sound like funner music. Not like the band Fun. Their music is not exactly.
It's not this, but I enjoy it because.
I say funner?
Not funner. No, more fun.
That's not a word. I'll correct my own grammar there. That's funner ain't a word. Mm-mm. Show ain't.
You enjoyed it? Why?
Well, I liked it because a lot of the music today and everything, you can get really muddled and just really like different styles, like right there and all at once, you know, like rah, 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 rah. And but the thing, and I'm not trying to call it like heavy metal and all that stuff because I enjoy that music, but some of the stuff it's just a jumble of noise instead of noise that makes sense. And to me, this was really clean and like really purposeful, and everything melded really well together. And I think that's because he went back to a more trained type of music where he's actually, I don't know if he's gone to school for it, but he has right. some background knowledge on how music actually
he's
works.
He's making music properly and making technically good music.
And not that
music
you
that
have
a music
to,
critic can enjoy.
Yeah, and not that you have to have a PhD to create music. You don't. You don't have to have any degree or anything. But it's just that a lot of the time that's what makes the most successful music, you know. Maybe not chart-wise, but musically wise.
It's a nice break from the same old to slip this in and get a little bit of a
it's not super cliche simple, but it's not
and
obscure
like,
and weird and hard to understand, and it's not so hard that you like literally have to take breaks between
like,
songs so your ears don't bleed.
Yeah, it's like eclectic music. It's so
yeah,
eclectic that your friends were like, what is this? And they're like, that's
but they're jamming
beat,
to it. Yeah,
but it's all right. Okay, we can
well,
roll
and
with
I
it
feel
for a
like
while.
I could have
you can't play it in a dance club and expect to get a lot of girls going crazy, but
no.
But there's a time and a place for everything, and I could see like in my den reading a book with some of this playing, or like driving. Good driving music.
Well, and I feel like driving. I could have an actual in-depth conversation with Craig about.
I was
this
lying
music.
Just then. I don't even have a den. That's
you know.
A fantasy.
The den's where you make it.
So here in my den.
But, I don't know. I feel like I like knowing that. If I, you know, ever met up with him, and I feel like I could have an actual conversation about his music.
Which we're hoping to do.
Which we're
hoping to have an actual conversation
but
about
I
his
like
music.
But I like that
so
because
convenient.
With a lot of the like top chart music and everything, I don't know if I could have that type of conversation with the artist. Because they have so many people.
There's a few of them. There's a few of them I could have some conversations with. They're not necessarily.
But they wouldn't be, yeah.
They're
like,
not necessarily
going to
be happy conversations.
Yeah. Well, that's like, yeah, it's like a lot of them are just singers, but they don't understand
the
technical work behind
it. Yeah, it's a shame that most of the glory in the world, and it has nothing to do with It has to do with like catchability, like how poppy your mm-hmm. song is, and then like how catchy your voice is. Is your voice tuned to what people want to listen to at this moment? Because we always want something mm-hmm. different. And so, like, what makes people ultra super famous is just connecting on the right dot. And otherwise, because there's so many musically, so many fish in the sea you're never going to listen. We could sit here all day reviewing just music for the rest of our lives. We'd we'll never listen to it at all.
No.
I'm not even going to try. Sorry, PR guys. Not even going to try. That's, you know, so it's nice to have somebody that's just making music, it seems like, to make good music. Kind of like something that was big in the 90s, like reminds me of Dave Matthews Band and stuff like that. Storyteller music. Yeah. Right. Music that you can just sit down with an acoustic guitar and have no other noise in the room and it still works.
Like you could go camping with it.
Or a piano. Yeah, sure.
Like that's all.
Yeah. Camp music. Yeah.
Like that's kind of what I.
It's fun. I enjoyed it too. I'm going to have to back this one as well. I think it's good stuff.
I enjoyed it because of its simplicity. And like I said, I enjoyed Randy Newman. And we've mentioned before on one of the other podcasts with music is sometimes it's harder to do the simple music than the loud and noisy music because, like you guys have been discussing. It's the background. It's
well, yeah, and then people like April that know a lot about music are going to be able to notice everything when there's not craziness going on. So they're going to be able to pick up your slight inflections from the accent of what village you grew up in on some island on the east coast of this archaic nation.
I can tell you grew up on the northern side of Mount Doom.
Yeah. Like. And that's, you know, and people are going to, people that know, I don't know, but people that know are going to notice.
Well, but it's nice because both types of people will be happy with it.
Yeah, because he's not using auto-tune mm-hmm. and, you know, he's actually making music.
Right. And his voice, I will say, is an acquired taste, though, too.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, like I said, it's eclectic. Your friends will say, okay, we'll roll with it, but they might not be, oh, yeah, this is great stuff. But for me, because I enjoyed this type of music, it hit me just fine. And I'll cruise with this in the car.
I could argue that everybody is like that. I mean,
right, but this style is a little bit more
so than most. More, yeah,
unusual, maybe.
It's not mainstream, is what you're trying to say. But even in mainstream acts, everyone is like that. Yeah. I mean, and there's been musicians that I've talked shit about them for years. I mean, I'll be honest about this. I've talked crap about Bieber for years. Just like making fun of him. Oh, that little girl's pretty. You know, stuff like that. I bet you his mom put those pants on for him and helped him pull them down and everything. Those kind of jokes. But this last song he came out with.
That's what I was like.
I was like, you know what, Biebs? I think you did it. I think you converted me because this song is the jam. And I'm rolling with this, you know, this new shit. I'm just like, okay. So he really is kind of developing some chops and his voice is lowering and it still sounds okay.
The ironic thing is his latest song, You Should Love Yourself.
That's the one I was talking about. Yeah.
Ed Sheeran.
Wrote it.
Well, I don't care who wrote it. I'm talking about the actual music. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, and see, and that's okay.
He's maturing. He's becoming a young man instead of a kid.
What was her name? Everyone now thinks she's like a goddess, but she couldn't get a hit until Willie Nelson hit her with that shot called, oh, that's right, Patsy Cline, Crazy.
Roofies?
No,
is
Crazy.
That what it's called?
The song Crazy by Patsy Cline, you know, that stacked on number one on the Billboard charts. For Willie Nelson wrote that song. So, you know, I mean... And you should hear Willie do it. If you have never heard Willie do Crazy, it's amazing.
I think several people have heard Willie do Crazy, but
not,
that's beside the
point. I'm talking about the song.
True.
The song by Patsy Cline. No, that does not surprise me. Ed Sheeran is a fantastic musician.
But I do agree with you, because like, even though I don't approve, I have no right to approve, but like... everything that Justin Bieber's ever done.
I haven't liked anything that he's ever done. Ever. His, and I didn't even like it.
But his music now is, I like a lot. But
it's going up.
His song, I don't know the song titles, but it's the Too Late Now to Say Sorry. Is it Too Late Now to Say Sorry? Because I miss more than just your body. It's, well, and I'm not singing it.
Sorry. I think it's just called Sorry.
Is it? Okay.
I haven't actually listened to it, but whenever I listen to Love Yourself, it pops up as another option.
Yeah. Well, it's actually, you know, it's about, you know, I messed up. Hey, I'm sorry. You know, can we get back together? But the video, I've actually watched the video, and it's just a bunch of girls in random outfits dancing, and I'm just like.
What?
It's not very artistic, Justin. What are you doing?
And if you've seen the video for, you know, and even the big stars, they know when they've got something good. You know, you can tell. Sorry, Craig, we got off on Bieber. But just real quick, you can tell that he definitely cared about that song and thought it was going to be a hit. And the video was made very well in a kind of a more artistic, just right. Two dancers, not, you know, dressed down, dressed plainly. So it's all about the moves. And
okay. I haven't seen. I've heard it, but I haven't.
But
seen
anyway,
it.
Yeah. And so back to the actual music that we're reviewing.
But this is one again. Like I said, it's so simple that it's hard. And like you were saying, Lenny, it's easy to pick the things that are wrong out with it because it's out there for everybody to hear. It's so easy to hear a mistake if there is a mistake, or the correctness if it is correct. But for me, if there is one drawback to the album, and probably this style, is that it's hard to change directions. So the music will have, and April mentioned this on one of the other albums we review, but I can't remember which one, but it almost starts to sound the same to a degree. But I'm in the mood where if this is in, this is what I want to listen to. So I'm going to enjoy all the songs and move on. So in that regards, that is one small drawback that I can see some people having, is that it does sound similar throughout most of the album.
I can't disagree.
And I think that's just because of the style of his voice.
I can't disagree, and just the style he likes to play. And may, you know, I like I said earlier, I like that to a degree, because whenever it varies too wildly, what happens is you hear one song and you like it, and then you go out and get the album, and you hear a bunch of other stuff that has no similarity to the song that you actually liked. And I find that a lot. So I don't like that either. So I like it when, and you know, but is he going to be able to break out and in a new album or at a new time change his pattern in his voice? I think he could. I don't see, you know, it may not be so easy to get his fans to accept it and follow along, because it is, you know, so easy to expect this certain thing. Expect the certain thing from him. We're all doing it tonight. But to a degree, I like that. It's 10 songs. It doesn't get boring. It's just, you know, there is no real branch to climb out on. He has 10 different ways he would like to portray these ideas in kind of this. Now, is it, you know, does it make it less of music than music with more dramatic changes? I don't know. But you know, something I'd be described as at some point would be easy listening, and for my mood tonight, that goes with my mood. Easy listening is all about what I'm about tonight. You know, this is going to be one of those that for me, it's going to be moody. It's going to depend on if I'm in the mood to listen to this, and that, you know, and that is kind of a hole for stuff to fall into, because what you want is a song that people can't turn off, even if they're not in the mood. But that doesn't mean that, you know, I don't have a mood for this and I wouldn't enjoy this. I enjoyed it as we listened tonight.
Right. And I was just looking on his webpage. Excuse me. I was looking on his webpage. It's CraigGreenbergMusic.com. And it looks like you can actually get a physical LP. So this is one that if you're a library out there, I think depending on the part of the country you're in, this one will fit in really well. If you're in a place that likes a lot of the harder rock and roll, harder, you know,
maybe not so much,
but almost every library, maybe you could say easy listening pop, slightly pop. Almost all libraries would have that, so this would be one that you could slip in there. And if you're looking to tell somebody what it's similar to, use the Randy Newman comparison. I think that's the most.
I think it's also the most.
So you can do it digitally as well, but if there is an opportunity for libraries out there to also pick this up as a physical album, if they want to put it in physically, and I would recommend it, but I'm a little biased because I enjoy this music, so I'd have to say, well, what do you guys say about recommendations?
I enjoy it. I think anybody would really enjoy it, you know, unless you had just a really, really, really picky, specific, tailored taste to one genre. I think this is for everybody.
There's going to be a lot of people, like people that only listen to country, this is too far outside their belt. People that only listen to rap, no. And there are a lot of those. But right. but Craig knows that. He knows that people only listen to rap or they only listen to country. He's neither rap, Sorry, Craig. Nor country. Again, sorry. But
I think to country than rap.
Anyone that turns on the pop station and gives everything pretty much a chance, as long as somebody else somewhere liked it, this is something that they can. That I think that a vast majority of people could like this. Like I say, it depends on the mood,
right?
Because if you're in the mood for an easier sound, then I think that this is perfect. Not just a fit, but perfect. So yeah, in the right mood, it's great sound. Jonathan,
what do you think?
I think that he had a unique voice. It was something that I really liked, which is unusual for me because I'm not a big fan of a lot of music.
Yeah, and Jonathan that doesn't like anything likes it. So for those guys out there that don't like anything, this is probably right up your alley. If you're one of those that's a rare breed, come check out Craig because he is probably that's the angle. Jonathan likes it. That's how we pitch it. Jonathan likes it. Jonathan approves about 11% of the music we do around here. So
I think that'll probably about wrap it up for Craig. We got a few things we're going to do here before we actually close out. We have a couple of things that came through our social media. Temp Agency came back through our social media and thanked us for sharing John Dylan's The Fox. We spotlighted that on our website a couple of weeks, probably about a month ago now. For City Bird Publicity, who I said we got the recommendation for Craig through them, they also gave us some other stuff. Victory Dance with Memphis, we shared that with them, so they wanted to send a shout out to us saying thank you, as well as their Bad Cop Love that we gave to them for the single that Ain't From Here. So, and it's kind of a punk rock single, so we appreciate the City Bird Publicity and the Temp Agency sending out some thanks to us, and we appreciate what they do for us as well. One of the other things that I wanted to mention. Ooh, hold on just a moment. Okay.
That was really good. Yeah, but I can't keep doing it.
I got you.
That was really good. I like that. little elevator music for you there, Richard, while you were pausing.
Thank you. This next one's some of the guys in the room might have seen this earlier today. This is being recorded and then will be put out later, but I did want to mention this on one of the podcasts. One of the first people in the music PR business that got in touch with me to start spotlighting music was through the Muse Box, and her name was Nadine Galineo, and she just recently passed away as of this recording. And I know when this recording comes out, it will be further back, but I just wanted to send a shout out to her family that we're thinking of them and all of her friends out there. And I consider her one of the friends because she took a chance on Comic Pop Library at the very beginning and started the ball rolling with our music PR companies that started contacting us and looking at their music for them. So definitely appreciate all she has done for Comic Pop and just want her to keep rocking it out up there in the sky. So Nadine, well, we appreciate everything, and our thoughts and prayers are with family and friends. And that's going to do it for this episode. Again, we were spotlighting Craig Greenberg, his album, The Grand Loss and Legacy. It is available to purchase. You can either get a physical copy or a digital. If you're interested in it, you can go to his webpage, CraigGreenbergMusic.com. You can order his album there, or you can get his digital through iTunes. We are going to be leaving out on I Hope You Understand. And that is another single off his album. We appreciate
it. This one's actually more poppy, but it still has this thingy feel to it, which I think is really cool.
And we're looking forward. Greg said if he has the time, he would be glad to come on and visit with us about his work. So hopefully in the near future, we'll get Craig on here and we'll actually visit with him and his music. So until then, we're having fun here. Hope everybody out there has been having fun listening. We will see everybody on the flip side.
Bye.
Bye.
See ya.
Hope you understand my life. I hope you understand my choices. I hope there comes a time
You see it through my eyes. I've waited all these years to say these words. I've waited all these years to let you in. I wanted you to see the man I've tried to be. And now you're standing at my door, the moment I've been waiting for. We'll make up for the time until you say goodbye. You know, I hope you understand this song. I hope it makes you feel that you belong. I hope you hear these words. Feeling at your worst. All the time you spent alone, no one there to let you know. Stand up and show now you show.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.